Good morning. You don't have to adjust your sets. I am not Pastor Dana. I am not the senior pastor of this church. My name is Steve Camp. I'm one of the elders. Pastor Dana's away, and so we're filling in for him. Before we begin, let's open a word of prayer. Father, again, we just thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Father, for your word, the power that we read in your word, how it changes lives and hearts for Christ. Pray this morning, Father, that as we discuss your word, that you would, Father, hide your servant behind the cross, so that we would see this morning Jesus. And so we commit this time to you now, thanking you for it and praying your blessing upon it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's been an interesting couple weeks for me. Those that don't know, Linda has been away. Our daughter has done this before. She flew mom down to Georgia for Mother's Day and her birthday, which was 2 days later. And it just so happens that when Linda went to the airport, they told her, they said, well, your birthday's coming up. That's great, but your license is going to expire. And so she didn't think much about it. She got to Georgia and decided to call the airline just to check some things. And they said, that's right, you can't fly with an expired license. So you're kind of stuck here. So my daughter took advantage of that one and called the airline back and scheduled a flight for a week later, expecting that, you know, she would get everything in place, and she did. But I told my wife, I said, boy, how convenient was that, you know, that you haven't seen your grandkids for how long, and then you just happen to be having to stay over for an extra week. Of course, they didn't mind that at all. The grandkids are thrilled, and that was kind of fun. And I told her, I said, well, the good thing is I've continued to lose weight, and so that's kind of the positive of her being away. But I have to say, thank you to Linda Chilson and others for giving me some food. That was great. Because the way I am, I'll just keep working, and oh yeah, I got to eat some point. But anyhow, so I'm thankful that for those brothers and sisters that have helped, and I just appreciate that. Think back when you were growing up. Was there anybody that you wanted to be like as a kid, or maybe in college? I don't know. But usually this happens when we're kids. When I was in junior high, I grew up right across, near where Pastor Dana grew up, in the Philadelphia area in South Jersey, and I was a big fan of the Philadelphia Phillies, not so much now, but they had a player back then called Tony Gonzalez, and I don't know why, but I just loved the way this guy batted. He had the weirdest batting stance I've ever seen in baseball. But he would hold his bat, he'd get in place. I was going to bring a bat, and I didn't. And he would, just before he was set, he would tilt the bat back so that the bat was parallel to the ground. Weirdest looking thing. So I tried to copy that in Little League, and my coach said, no way, dude. You're not going to bat like that. But Tony Gonzalez did real well with that. So he was one, and Johnny Callison was another one. But I looked at those guys, and I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be like that. Most of you know my son, Bill. When he was very good in baseball, and he through a couple phone calls, we got in touch with a scout from the Cleveland Indians, and so Bill worked with this guy. And the guy came up to me after the first meeting with Bill, and he said, "Your son looks like Roger. He pitches like Roger Clemens. He's like exact same mechanics." And I said, "Well, that's because he watched him. Every move he made, he watched everything that he did, and he mimicked what he did." So I don't know who you in your growing up in life, who you admired enough to say you wanted to copy them. But what I want to take a look at this morning, and I call the talk "The Imitation of Christ," and it's not just trying to copy Christ, just do what he did, but change us inside so that what we do becomes automatic. It's not something we have to think about. It's like a friend of mine was, my roommate in college, in fact, was a bank president, and he would tell me, I said, how do you guys figure out what's counterfeit and and real when it comes to bills? And he said that they had a week long, they would go away for a week, and they would handle, blindfolded, they would handle real money. That's all they handled, was real money for a week, about 2 or 3 hours a day, and they were all blindfolded. He said then at the last day what they would do, they'd still stay blindfolded, and every teller was slipped in the pile of bills that they had was a counterfeit bill. Every one of them picked it out. Every one of them picked it out. Because they were so used to the original, the real, they knew what the counterfeit was, what it felt like. And so the same when it comes through life. Let's get to know Christ so well and be like Christ so well that we can function the way he wants us to. So three things I'm hoping I would encourage us to take away, three areas this morning. Number one, that we would see as Jesus saw. Number two, feel as Jesus felt. And number three, do as Jesus did. And I got this from when I was in college. I went to a conference in University of Penn. And I was sitting there with a bunch of my friends, and I had my King's College sweatshirt on, and we're eating lunch, sitting in the hallway. And this guy comes up to me, and he goes, "Oh, King's College, I know Dr. Cook well." And I, "Yeah, that's nice." And you got the chit-chat, and then he leaves. And the person with me said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "Some guy, that's all." He says, "What way do you see?" So later on in the conference, they introduced this guy, and it was Josh McDowell. So I'm thinking, well, I just blew this guy off like anything. But anyhow, so I just thought that was kind of interesting. But so in his talk, he mentioned these three points. And it stayed with me all these years. And so I thought I would share these with you. To be honest with you, I don't remember a thing of what he said. But I remember those three points. So anyhow, so turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. This was read for us today, but I'd like to read that again, if I may, and then we'll handle a few things here. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, and I'll be reading from the ESV. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So the first thing I'd like us to see is to look at is that we need to see as Jesus saw. So we read here that Jesus saw the people as being harassed and like sheep without a shepherd. And why were they harassed? Why were they the way they were? Mainly because they're wandering aimlessly through life, mainly because they didn't have Christ. That was the reason why. But when Christ looked at these people, he looked at them as having no hope, no direction, and just like people today, as we look through in our dealings with people each and every day, a lot of those folks are in that same situation. In fact, I read not too long ago a real discouraging statistic. It's suicide rates in the U.S. among middle-aged Americans are dramatically up over the past decade. You talk about depression and being having despair. Do we see those people? When we come to church, one of the things that's real easy to do, I've done it, I'll admit I've done it over the years. You come to church and you get up that morning, you go, I don't feel like going to church this morning, you know. And so you go, and yet you put on the happy face and you put on the front, and nobody knows anything because you're covering up really well. But do we know people well enough that we can sense? We can sense. I had one person one time way back, maybe 5, 6 years ago, say to me, "Are you okay?" I don't know, I guess there's something on my face that gave it away, but I said, "Yeah, there's something bothering me," so we talked. But are we that close to people? And that's, I would encourage all of us to get to know the family here. Your family at home we know really well. We need to know the family here extremely well, because when they go through deep waters, when they go through tough times, we need to be there for them, and they need to be there for us. And it's at those times when things are really hard that people need a friend. They don't need a judge. They need a friend. And so we need to be careful on how we respond to people. And I can tell you this, in the past year or two, the Lord has brought that home to me very strongly, and I'm very thankful for that. So we need to see as Jesus saw. He saw those people in a hopeless situation. He saw them in their spiritual condition. They didn't have him. There was no trust in him. And everybody Christ saw without faith in him, he saw in that condition. And that's why he came. That's why he came. So we need to see as Jesus saw. See people around us the way Christ saw those people around us. The next one is that we need to feel as Jesus felt. And it says in there that Christ had compassion on them. One story I'll share with the idea of compassion. Linda, there's a woman that comes in our store every so often, 3 or 4 times a month. And she came in the store, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And Linda was telling me about her and how she's very unique. And she told me this one time. She came in, bought some books, went out. And a few minutes later, she came back and threw the books at Linda. Threw the bag at Linda behind the counter, and missed her. But being the productive husband I was, I said, "Well, you let me know when she comes in the store again, and I want to talk to her." And so Linda goes, "No, no, you don't understand." And she has some real psychological issues, and maybe split personality. I don't know. There happened to be a woman in the store that is in that field when this other woman was there, and she was talking to her. And she told Linda later, she really has issues. And so what was weird was Linda, actually, when she came in one day, Linda introduced me to her. Now, prior to that, Linda told me that she hated men. So I'm thinking, why did you introduce me to this woman that hates men? Great, you know, now I get to deal with it. Because she started asking me questions about some things, and everything I responded was wrong. Everything I responded, it was wrong. And so I was trying to bite my tongue. But I watched my wife deal with this woman. And she told me one time that a couple weeks after she came in, the woman came up to Linda and asked her a couple questions, and Linda just opened up to her. And then she opened up to Linda. And it was amazing. It was amazing. And the woman told Linda when she left, I've never had anybody take the time with me like you did. That was amazing. So my wife modeled for me what compassion was like. I can say with all honesty, I don't know that I could do that. I'd like to think I could, but the Lord we haven't had another face-to-face since that happened. But the fact is, we need to look at things the way Christ looked at things, because they're lost. How do we look at people? And the other thing is, we need to be consistent with how we look at people. And I say this to myself as well. We need to give ourselves to other people, because we need to be there. Christ was there for people back when he was on earth. And we, in turn, need to be there for other people. It's tough at times because we're so busy. All of us are so busy. But we need to take the time to be available to people. And I think that's important. Because people are hurting, and we can make a difference. We can make a difference. I remember when I was in college, I was a PE major in college, but we all had to take 4 semesters of Bible. So the very first Bible class I took was the basic Bible 101. And the professor, when he talked about compassion, he mentioned that the Greek word there implies that, of course, Dana will probably correct me when he hears this, but it implies that Christ actually got physically sick, sick to his stomach, when he saw the people in their state that they were in, which was fallen. And it physically bothered him. And it's just like, you know, we use the phrase today, I have a gut feeling, you know, same idea, but back then it was more of a, actually physical being upset because of the fact he saw the people in the state that they were in, and that was without him. Bruce Carroll some time ago wrote a song, called Who Will Be Jesus? And a very telling song. If you ever get a chance to listen to it on iTunes or whatever, it's a great song. And it's a story that's there, and I'll let you listen to the song to get the story. But the idea, are we judgmental if we know that there's things going on in somebody's life? Are we judgmental towards that person, or do we show compassion? And I would suggest that we show compassion, mainly because no matter what that person's been involved with and no matter what that person has done, they've been forgiven just like we have been forgiven. And I think it said one time that if you decide you want to, you haven't decided whether you want to forgive somebody or not, think about what you've been forgiven. And then as I still remember Pastor Ed making this comment that when someone asks for forgiveness, it's not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. Nowhere in Scripture does it show that, say that. Someone asks for forgiveness, we forgive. Now, our problem is we have a hard time forgetting. That's our problem. And that's a lifelong journey that I think we go on, is to forget. But then just keep giving it to the Lord. So we need to show compassion. I think that's the big thing that we need more of today than anything else, is compassion, because we're so... I mean, I had a pastor that came in 2 days ago at the store, and we got talking, and somehow this topic came up, and he says, I don't see Christians being as compassionate as they should be. And if you remember years ago, I'm talking probably over 30 years ago, a woman by the name of Madeline O'Hare took issue with one of the astronauts when they started quoting scripture and demanded that they retract that, which they did not. But she later on in life, she made a comment that was really telling of the Christian community. And she said, the Christians shoot their wounded. And boy, you know what? When you think about that, we do. We shoot our wounded. I heard in the past, not here, but I've heard in the past where people go, something happened to a brother or sister, and they go, oh, they deserve that. What do you mean they deserve it? We all deserve hell. But because of God's grace through Christ, so he can extend forgiveness, and we need to do that. So we need to express and show compassion and be genuine about that. And that's it. I can tell you, watching my wife, it's very draining to do that, extremely draining, if it's genuine. But I think it's something that the Lord would have us do, and I think he'll bless if we do that. So how do we show compassion to people? Well, we give ourselves. I think time is probably the best thing you can give to people. Give your time to people. If they need an ear, be that ear. If they need a ride, be that ride. Be vulnerable. Weep with those that weep. Show people that you care, and that's what we need to do. And it is hard, because if your disposition is such that you want to take care of everybody, that you'll probably burn out really quick. But the idea is that give of yourself. Let the Lord show you, let him open the doors, and let him show you who it is that he wants you to touch the life that day, whatever day that might be. So when people are hurting, they need a friend, and we need to be that friend. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. You don't have to turn to these, but I'll just read these, dealing with compassion. First one is found in Luke chapter 7, verse 12 to 14. It says, as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And Christ rose him from the dead. Another one, Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So compassion, if you look throughout Scripture, Christ is showing compassion. This pastor said to me, he had some people make a comment to him, well, Christ didn't show compassion in the temple. I said, no, Christ was upset in the temple, and he had to deal with that. But he wasn't showing compassion. They were still lost, But the fact is that what they were doing was wrong. And so, you know, it's okay when Christ got angry about that situation. But that doesn't negate the fact that Christ is compassionate, because we see throughout Scripture that Christ is. The third item that I want to take a look at today is we need to do as Jesus did. Now, over the years, I've talked to people at the store again, and they go, I can't be like Christ because he was God. Well, aren't we compelled in Scripture, encouraged in Scripture to be Christ-like? And this is not a journey that we're on. We're not going to achieve it next week. It's not, okay, next Wednesday, if you're into daytime and planning and things like that, you don't say, well, next Thursday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be more Christ-like. It's an ongoing process. And there's peaks and valleys, and that's just the way it is. And I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is. And so that's why we have to daily commit the day to the Lord, our lives to the Lord, our families to the Lord. So we need to do as Jesus did. If you remember some time ago, there was a bracelet that came out. It said WWJD. And I cannot remember anything in the Christian bookstore industry that was as popular as that. That was all over the place. And then it started, it's kind of waned. It's still out there, but not as much. But the initials are, what would Jesus do? And I even saw it on, I forget what there was a TV program, and one of the actors was wearing this bracelet that said WWJD. I don't think the person was a Christian, but I thought it was interesting that they were wearing that bracelet. The focus of that, in fact, the people that designed that or came out with that, they wanted people to focus on the Lord. That's why they did that. I've never seen one that's WWBD, what would Buddha do? I haven't seen any of those lately. WWMD, what would Moroni do? I haven't seen any of those, but it's just been WWJD. That's the only thing I've seen, because Jesus Christ is the true Son of the living God, and he's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, what did Christ do? Well, if we read in the Scripture there, he went around teaching and preaching the good news and healing those who were sick. And we can do that same thing. We're called to do the very same thing today. We're called to teach, explain to those around us about the Lord that we come into contact with on a daily basis. We are encouraged to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to explain that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. And then that we are called to heal. Now, just a couple words about healing. This is not talking about healing in the commercial way, at least I don't believe, in the commercial way we see it on TV. And I still go back to one gentleman in New Jersey when I was there. There was a guy, he was a healer. He's on TV, and his name was Thea Jones. And the deal with him is you'd send in a handkerchief with 10 cents, not sure why 10 cents, but send it into him. He prayed over the handkerchief, you got it back, and whatever ached, you put that handkerchief on that spot and you would be healed. Well, at the bookstore I worked at in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, he came in one day and he was over by the Bibles. And I told the staff I wanted to take care of him. So, I wanted to wait on him. Anyhow, so I walked over and I said, "Is something I can help you with?" I didn't acknowledge who he was. I figured he probably would do that himself, and he did. He goes, "Well," he looked at me right in the eye, and he goes, "I'm Thea Jones, and I'm on television." Great, okay. So I said, "Well, that's nice. Is there a certain Bible translation you're looking for?" And he looked at me again. "I'm Thea Jones, and I'm on television." I was starting to get a little annoyed, but I thought, no, I'm not going to lose it here. So I said, what do you need the Bible for that you're looking for? And then he got really annoyed, got loud. "I'm Thea Jones, and I'm on television." I said, "Well, I'm Steve Camp, and I'm not. What can I help you with?" And but it was just this whole thing. It was all about him, his program. I watched it a couple of times. Just I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But I don't think that's what God's talking about when he talks about healing. Now, I've had people over the years, and maybe you have had too, does God still heal today? I believe he does. How he chooses to do that, I have no idea. There's no secret formula to this. It's not that you do A, B, and C, and bingo, you're healed. I think God is sovereign. And if God I mean, look in the Bible. There's things that God allowed, he did not remove from people for a reason. There's a reason. You know, there's a reason why this thing is behind me today. Why? Because I have a back issue, and I don't want to fall down if something happens, so I'm going to sit on this thing. So I wish God would take that away from me, but like my doctor said, that's the price you pay, dude, for getting older. So that's the way it is. But so I don't know that, you know, God does heal today. No, I've seen where God's done that. My brother told me that his brother who taught at Liberty University, and I think he was in charge of the Bible department, they just diagnosed him as having cancer of the pancreas. And so that's operation, and that's instant, you're a diabetic, because they removed the pancreas. They did all these x-rays, did all this kind of stuff. A couple of people from the church came and prayed with him. And so he went to the hospital to have the operation, and they did one more x-ray, and they said they couldn't find a thing. And so they did more intense x-rays, I guess. I don't know what they do, but they decided that it's not there anymore. It's gone. And so the family they looked at that as God's healing. Now, he didn't go to a service. God just chose at that point to remove that from his body. I kind of wish there had been times where God would replace more of the hair that he's let go, but that's not going to happen. So, but, you know, the healing, as when it says in Scripture that we are to do what Christ did, and one of those things is to heal. You can heal just by being near somebody. You can help them emotionally by just talking to them. That can be a healing. Be the balm of Gilead, if you would, that you can be that healing process in their lives, whether it be emotional or it's spiritual. And one time I had a guy in the store said to me, we got talking about what God wants for his life and all this, and he goes, I'm not really that... well educated. I didn't go to Bible school or anything, so I don't know how God can use me. And I remember in the back of the store, this is when we had the Acton store, we had a little plaque that was by Oswald Chambers, and it said, I don't remember exactly, but the idea was, God is not concerned about our ability. He wants our availability. He can give you the ability. God will give you it's like I used to tell our kids growing up, that God will never open a door without giving you the ability to walk through it. So don't say that you can't do something. If God's calling you to do it, he'll give you the ability to do that. I've seen it over and over again. So just in case you kind of think that, well, I don't, God can't use me because of X, Y, Z, name whatever it is. Let me give you some illustrations of some really interesting characters and what they did in Scripture. These are people that God used in a mighty way. Moses stuttered. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Jonah ran from God. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. So was Moses. Just to name a few. So look at people in Scripture and how God used them. In fact, going back to David, David was called a man after God's own heart after the sin with Bathsheba. And so... part of the healing process that we can give to people is God can still use you. That's what the cross is all about. No matter what it is, God can still use all of us. And we need to convey that to people that we come alongside that are hurting, depressed, that we need to bring them before the Lord, but encourage them that God can still heal, God can still use them. So we need to, God's called us to teach things of himself, proclaim the good news, and then also heal, whatever form that might be. So it's important that we remain sensitive to the call of the Lord. Whatever the Lord calls us to do, we need to be sensitive to that calling and not ignore it. Don't do what Jonah did, run from the Lord, because you'll be miserable. In fact, the most miserable people I have ever met in my life are Christians that are backslidden, people that are running from the Lord. I got one very close one to me, and that's my brother. He committed his life to the Lord years ago, and now he's turned his back on the Lord. So slowly, I'm trying not to be the older brother in this situation, but in the sense of being, you know, get on his case, but I'm just trying to encourage him. And I told him, I said, all the stuff started when the day you turned your back on God is when all this stuff started to happen. And he just told me about a month and a half ago that he's seriously thinking about going back to church. Big step. I'm not gonna say, well, great, now, you know, beat him over the head with the Bible. But the fact is, there's that healing that's going to take place in his life, I think, if he opens up to the Lord. And I'm thankful that the Lord, and hopefully he'll continue to use me in that regard. So we need to take the message of Jesus Christ to all those we come into contact with. And that's really, really important because they need it. They need to hear what we have to share. And so just ask the Lord for opportunities for him to open doors, for you to walk through those doors and to be Jesus to those people that you come into contact with. There was a real interesting book. I just picked it up the other day at the store and started to read it. And I got to finish it because it was fascinating. It talked, it's a true story about a woman in Iran that was a Christian and made no bones about it. No, she didn't hide it at all. And because of that, she was thrown in prison. And I forget the name of the prison, though. I didn't write that down, but it's one of the worst prisons in Iran. And all these women were in this prison, and as they're all sitting around, she's sharing Christ with these people. And the guards are right there. And she's sharing Christ with these people. And several of the people that she was sharing her faith with were executed shortly thereafter. And she was called up to whoever that she talked to and wanted to know, why are you a Christian? And she would ask her, she would answer that question, why she was a Christian. And she said she's not going to stop, you know, sharing her faith. So they just took her, put her back in her cell, and she's still alive today, and was not executed. But it's so interesting how she didn't back off, knowing that probably at some point she might be executed. But she wants to share God's love to those people that need it. And so, you know, you've heard the phrase, bloom where you're planted. Whatever door God opens for you, walk through that door in his strength, continue on and accomplish the purpose that he's called for you. So three things we need to do. We need to see as Jesus saw, see people around us with the eyes of Christ. They're not just a person that you can't get along with, you don't like. Look at them. And I say this to myself too. Look at them the way Christ looks at them. And I think we'll look at these people differently. Then feel as Jesus felt. How did Christ feel towards people? He had compassion on them. And we need to express that compassion to those in our circles as well. And then lastly, do as Jesus did. Put action, put feet on our Christianity. You know, do something, you know, in the Lord's strength. Don't do it on your own, because we'll all flop if that's the case. But ask the Lord for opportunities for you to share, and he will. He'll open those opportunities. So this is a journey we're on. It's not going to be accomplished in a week. It's not a class you take at a college, and bingo, after 2 or 3 weeks, you've got this degree that says you're now Christ-like. It's an ongoing life lesson as we learn. We're learning this life lesson right along. So our prayer is that we should remain sensitive to the things the Lord is sensitive to. And I think that would be helpful for us as we try to accomplish what Christ has set out for us, whatever that might be. It's different for you and different for me. But whatever God has called us to do, we can do it more effectively, I feel, if we do those three things. See as Jesus saw, feel as Jesus felt, and do as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, again, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for your love for us. I love, Father, again, that sent Christ to Calvary's cross for us. For forgiveness of sins, Father, we thank you so much for. Father, help us each day as we go throughout our lives, that as people we come into contact with, give us a sensitivity, Father, to them that you have. Give us a compassion, Father, that you have. And help us, Father, to turn people around through your strength, that we would give them hope, Father, give them life through Jesus Christ. And so we just pray for that. And I just thank you, Father, for this time together, and pray that you would bless us as we continue on now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you would, for benediction. I just pray that as we go, we would go seeing as Jesus saw, feeling as Jesus felt, and doing as Jesus did. God bless.